A real-time game that's happening every second of every day? It's Animal Crossing for the Nintendo GameCube. Get your own place and become part of a thriving community. Meet your neighbors, chat with them, or help them by running errands. They'll reward you with cash, food, or even things to decorate your new home. Furnish your home any way you want, or pay off your loan and buy a better one. Choose different activities for different days. Catch insects, go fishing, or dig up fossils. As the seasons change, so will your activities. Up to four players can join the fun, trade with them, or arrange scavenger hunts. For a change of pace, hop a train to visit another village. Find new items and tasty fruit. There's always plenty to do, and something is always happening in Animal Crossing. See you there.
What's up? Welcome to N-Express for the week of April 19th. I'm Tim Mason, your host. With me, as always, is Ricky D.
What's up, Tim?
And also joining us is Chris Souza.
What's going on, everyone? Thanks for having me here.
Chris, we have a really fun game that we call Five Questions every time we have someone on the show for the first time. Are you ready for five rapid questions?
I am.
All right, Ricky, let's roll.
All right, Chris. So question number one. What is your favorite Legend of Zelda game?
Definitely Ocarina of Time.
All right, and what would you say is your favorite console of all time, Nintendo and or not Nintendo, but you better say a Nintendo console?
Ooh.
I'm just joking.
I mean, if my favorite, I'd probably have to go for the 360, to be honest, just because like the whole online gaming. But for Nintendo, since Nintendo is definitely my favorite company, I'd probably have to go with the 64.
All right, so...
Yeah, that's the right answer right there.
Damn. All right, Tim, that is only the second person who's agreed with you.
Yeah, no, there's a select few of us, and we know who we are, and we know what's what.
We do.
All right, question number three. There's been a hot debate here on the N-Express podcast. Do you think that Nintendo should experiment with virtual reality with their next console?
I'm going to say... No, not for this one. I think virtual reality is obviously like the next step. Like, you know, PlayStation is going hard with the PS VR. But I just don't think Nintendo should be focusing on that right now. I think there's many more things that they should be focusing on, such as, obviously the rumors from NX kind of show that they're going with a more powerful console, which is definitely important. I think they should be focusing more on getting those hardcore gamers in. And the casual gamers to kind of come in to actually buy their consoles before they start going on to these things that haven't really proven themselves to be, you know, mainstream yet.
Mm. Question number four. If you could bring back one classic Nintendo IP that has been dormant for way too long, what would you choose?
A big one that me and a buddy of mine have been talking about. I actually haven't got to experience it much, but Gomon is something that like I feel like was... there at the wrong time. And I think if they kind of rebooted that series, it'd be awesome.
All right. Now, if you can steal one franchise from Sony and bring it to Nintendo, which franchise would you steal and why?
That's a very interesting question. Because my favorite, I guess, IP from Sony right now is The Last of Us, but I don't think that's really Nintendo's vibe. So, I mean, we're talking about anything on any PlayStation console before, right? Because if so, I was going to go with Crash, but he hasn't been around for a while. So I'm going to go with Sly Cooper.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I think they would like kind of take that to the next level and kind of give it the attention it really needs rather than kind of bringing it around every once in a while.
Hmm. All right. Well, I think you passed. That's five questions. Thank you so much for participating.
Yes.
So, Chris, you are joining us for a very special episode. Animal Crossing is officially 15 years old, which it blows my mind. I can't believe it's that old. How about you guys?
Yeah, I'm pretty shocked because this is the first Nintendo franchise that really like kind of grasped me, and I've been playing it since the very, very beginning, and it's kind of crazy to see like what has passed so far.
I know I have actually played every single Animal Crossing game. I haven't played Animal Forest on the N64, the original Japanese game, but everything that's come to the U.S. I have absolutely played. So this is a very, very near and dear franchise to me, and I am really happy that it's made it this far. I never thought it would. I thought it was just going to be a one and done. But
I want to ask you guys a question. So I've only played New Leaf, which I love and adore. And my problem with New Leaf is I actually lost a game, which is one of the reasons why I prefer to buy physical as opposed to digital, because my nephew borrowed my 3DS and all my games vanished. But anyways, but what I find interesting about Animal Crossing is I don't know if maybe because it is Nintendo we are talking about, but can a video game company, can a publisher or developer make a game like Animal Crossing nowadays and actually make it a success? Like, I know we have games like Second Life and Sims is always around, I guess, but like Animal Crossing is just like such a bizarre game, but it's so adorable and so fun and so full of charm. And I've played Sims and I've played Second Life, and I hands down prefer Animal Crossing. And maybe it's just because of the Absolutely. Animal characters, but yeah, there's just something about Animal Crossing. But I'm just wondering, like, Tim, do you think that a company can release a game like Animal Crossing nowadays in 2016 and it can actually be a success? And not because there's something wrong with the characters or the animation, but just because of it's so damn time consuming and there's so many games released per week. I just don't know how anyone can squeeze it in their busy schedules nowadays.
See, I think if anyone could do it, I think it's Nintendo. And I think if they had sat on Miitomo a little bit longer, then that's maybe what it could have become, is something more akin to Animal Crossing. But I also don't think they want to step on their next Animal Crossing game, which is undoubtedly coming. Yeah. And so I think it's possible, but I think that Nintendo's pretty set in the franchise Animal Crossing, and I don't think anyone else could match Nintendo's efforts except for Nintendo. So that's a roundabout way of saying kind of, but there's only one true Animal Crossing.
But speaking on Miitomo, I mean, even though that's now, I feel like that's kind of what they're going towards, is that, I mean, it's not going to be a whole world experience, but I feel like they're really kind of setting the stage so, you know, next you can kind of upgrade your room and upgrade more and more. So it's going to keep getting that customizable feel that Animal Crossing yeah. gives.
Kind of like the Animal Crossing without a town, right?
Exactly. But yeah, I think one of my favorite parts about Animal Crossing is that it really is different, and it's a market that's just like it's all theirs. Like, you know, I mean, Sony and Microsoft are always making these like shooters and all this great stuff, but it becomes oversaturated.
Absolutely.
And I feel like Animal Crossing is just perfect because it's just alone. You only have that, really.
Yeah. So Chris, you've been there from the beginning, you said, right?
Yeah, I've been playing since. I never played the original Japanese, but I've played all the American releases.
So I've got to ask you, if you had to pick a difference between what you think is the best Animal Crossing game and maybe your favorite in consideration of when it came out, do you have a favorite Animal Crossing game?
I've been ready for this question, Tim. I knew you were going to ask this. My favorite is absolutely the original. There's no hands down, like, it has to be that one for me, because I had never played anything like that. So when it came out, I was just shocked. I just didn't know what was going on. I remember a buddy of mine at the time, we were just put like two of the huge CRTVs next to each other and we just play all night. And plus, I mean, it was great that it had like over like 15 like NES games like within the game. But New Leaf is definitely the best one in my opinion. It just kind of feels like it's like a greatest hits album where it kind of just takes everything from all the previous releases and kind of puts them all into one and just kind of perfected almost everything. And then I think they're kind of even adding on more now with like the Happy Home Designer and stuff.
Yeah, I sincerely hope that Happy Home Designer is how we design our own homes in the future Animal Crossing titles, because that was phenomenal.
Yeah, I feel like that game is, for me at least, nothing more than a tech demo for what NX Animal Crossing is going to be, honestly.
Do you want another home console one?
I feel like the idea of Animal Crossing is like perfect for handheld, but like I made... before I came here, I kind of made a list of my favorites, and they're not that high, to be honest. Like, I love the original, and City Folk is actually my second favorite. I'm not sure what it was, but something about it kind of, like, brought me back to that original feeling I had. And I think on paper, it's meant to be handheld, but at the same time, I have always enjoyed the home releases more, and I feel like there's more you can do since they're going to have it's going to be a more powerful system than the 3DS is ever going to be.
You know what I find interesting about Animal Crossing? I think the reason why it's successful, it's not because of the type of game it is. It's because of the characters. It's like watching one of those movies where it doesn't necessarily have like this amazing climax or this brilliant like twist ending and or an action-packed sequence. It just has like a lot of great characters that you just end up loving. Like think of something like Guardians of the Galaxy, right? It's like a Marvel movie, but what makes it different than all Marvel movies is it has so many of these characters that are so different, so unique, and that are so lovable. And that's what I kind of love about Animal Crossing. Like, I haven't played all of the games, but of the games I have played, like, I mean, I have every single Animal Crossing amiibo, which is a lot, by the way. I mean, they release like 3 a week.
Have you started the cards yet?
No, I can't do the cards. Like no. I already got a problem with collecting things.
So do I.
Yeah, but seriously, there's so many Animal Crossing amiibo figures, and if they released like 100, I would buy 100. So for me, I think that is the number one reason why I think the franchise is such a huge success.
It's a combination of that and sort of elegant simplicity. There's something to be said about, like, you take any of the, I guess, comparable games, not really, something like The Sims, and that screen is very, very crowded, whereas Animal Crossing is extremely serene no matter where you are and what you're doing, and it's never cluttered unless you're talking about maybe your house, and everything's very, very simple, very easy to use, and it's sort of got this mundane beauty to it where it's your life outside of life, and it's really enjoyable in that regard. And just building up this environment that you can kind of create with it what you want, but still have a structure that's out of your control, have characters that are out of your control, that kind of makes it even more enjoyable and even more real. And I think that's why I like the game so much.
Yeah, definitely about what Ricky was saying with the characters as well. Like, I feel like no one besides your character, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say there's any like leading star of the town. There's no like big character that everyone specifically loves every single time. It's kind of like just a combination of like, you know, the awesomeness of like KK Slider or like Tom Nook. It's just like they're all just so perfect in their own regards. And I like that there's no like leading protagonist or antagonist. It's just all like one happy like town.
Is KK Slider everyone's favorite character? Like, I know he's my favorite character.
He has to be, right? Like, I mean, maybe to counter my last point, I mean, yeah, I guess he's got to be the coolest guy there.
I mean, there are a couple of animals that dress up like superheroes, and those guys are both pretty awesome. I think it's an elephant is one of them, and a bear, I want to say. It's tough to remember.
Yeah, there's so many. There's like hundreds now, so.
But, man, I love this franchise so much. I get really nostalgic for the original one. I'm kind of like you. I don't think that's my favorite. If I had to pick a favorite, it'd either be New Leaf or Wild World.
Okay.
But, man, there's something to be said about the GameCube, and this is one of the most defining games of the GameCube, I feel like. The GameCube was all about obscurity and the unexpected. So we had Wind Waker, we got Metroid Prime, a 3D Metroid, and, I mean, countless other games that just out of nowhere. Luigi's Mansion is another good example of that. And I think that of all of them, besides maybe Luigi's Mansion, this one just sticks out as like this defining feature for the GameCube. And I missed that home console experience when I still lived with three of my brothers. So that's actually a perfect amount of space for each of us to have a house in a town. And sharing a town with something is a super unique experience. And I kind of wish they could figure that out on a portable where like you and a friend have the same exact town. Because like one day you go in, and everything is super normal. And then the next day you go in and there's a new flag. The town song's totally different. One of your like neighbors is super mad because something happened. And it's just the best experience. And I just remember like striving for those statues that were only in the original game, I think. Did you get those?
I got like a couple of them, but like not. I wasn't like a huge, huge collector at the time. I would just run around and like talk to people all day.
Yeah, I think it's the only game where if you fully pay off your loan, they erect a golden statue of your character and then a silver for the next character, then bronze, and then a green statue for the last character, which is just really fun, and it fit the game tonally to have that weird green statue.
Yeah.
And it was just like a great sense of accomplishment, and then your friends would come and visit and you'd be like, yeah, I did this. They'd be like, you totally time traveled. And you're like, so? Because that's all you ever did?
Yeah.
Just stay out there alone?
Yeah, I remember I used to like time travel to like different holidays. I would like go to Christmas early, just like get presents for all my animal friends.
Yeah, it's so fun. It's cool that there's actually a game that makes me want to get on the holidays or around the holidays. I know in New Leaf, I got super into the Halloween set. One of my rooms is still decked out in all Halloween stuff. And so I like missed it because I was on vacation during Halloween. And then when I went back and wanted to play it, I had to like time travel, but it was totally worth it because I got all the Halloween stuff. And it was just like a really simple but fun event. And I love that.
What do you guys think the future is for Animal Crossing? Like, I think, Chris, you mentioned that they might have a game coming out for the NX, but do you really think that they're going to release a game like Animal Crossing on a home console when, for example, smartphones are just so powerful these days that I can easily see Miitomo being like sort of like a stepping stone to an Animal Crossing game on mobile? Because, I mean, think about it, like, I don't even know if there's going to be a future for portable video game systems. I can easily see them taking a game like Animal Crossing. And given the sales for games on smartphones, I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't. Like, Animal Crossing just seems like the perfect fit for smartphones. That's not to say that I don't want it on my 3DS and or my Wii U and or the NX, but I just think from like a business point of view, like if I was like, you know, one of the people sitting in the board meetings at Nintendo, I'd be like, no, we have to release this for smartphones.
Like from a business standpoint, like you're completely correct. I even checked like the sales before this, and I think Wild World was at number one with like 11 million, and then New Leaf was actually kind of catching up to that. But then like the original and the City Folk are all much, much lower. And I think from a business standpoint, you kind of have to put that on mobile or do some kind of mobile integration where maybe it's like a $10 mobile game and you can kind of like visit your town, but you can't do all the features you can do on the NX. And then kind of make it like they can kind of connect. But I really hope there's a beautiful, fully HD, massive world. Maybe not massive, like kind of like City Folk, where it's like multiple parts.
Yeah.
For like if they start with an NX launch title like that, it's going to be amazing. And I think there's a lot of people who are like really clamoring for that HD Animal Crossing. And I mean, I don't know how you guys felt at the Amiibo Festival, like release trailer. But when I saw it, I was like crushed because I got super excited when he walked out of like that train station. I was like, oh, this is finally what I've been waiting for. And then he like stepped into like that one little tiny game panel. And I was like, come on, Nintendo. Like, what are you doing? Like, this is not what I wanted.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a main series Animal Crossing game because New Leaf was still so young. But it's definitely, it would be cool to see it in HD because like it's such a pretty game anyway, even without the HD. On the 3DS, it looks great. It's just a really charming world, and to see it with even more definition, even more charming detail in every single inch, that would be remarkable. But that's where I wonder if an iPhone or an Android could actually handle all that. I feel like it would kill your battery too fast if people are having that problem with Miitomo. And on Miitomo, there's not a ton to do. And like Animal Crossing, you sit down, you play for hours. People keep saying that like portable handheld consoles, they're done. But the 3DS made a killing. The DS was a money printing machine.
Yeah.
I don't think it's over. There's too much control and finesse. I think Nintendo has mastered portable gaming. And I think that if NX is truly both portable and a home console, then you're absolutely right. An Animal Crossing game as a launch title could be a huge, huge start for that console. For me especially, if I can take it on the go and play at home.
The thing you got to remember about portable systems is, I would say like a good 50%, if not more, of the owners are children, right? And so parents don't necessarily want their children to have like smartphones, but they don't mind if they buy their son or daughter who's like, say, under the age of 12, a portable system. Like when I worked at the elementary school, everyone had a 3DS, like all the kids, right? But only like a few kids had a smartphone. So yeah, sure, there's still an audience for portable video game systems. Clearly, there will always be. I'm just saying, like, when you look at the numbers, you look at how much like a game like Candy Crush makes, like billions, not millions, billions, right? And so that's why I think like for Nintendo to release a game like Animal Crossing on smartphones, they're just gonna make a killing. I haven't played much Animal Crossing. Like I said, I actually did play the original, by the way. Not the original, but the one for GameCube, sorry. I never played Animal Forest, but only a bit. But Animal Leaf is the only one I really, really played. But there's so many things, like there's so many great things about Animal Crossing. Like, whenever I ask someone what they love about Animal Crossing, they usually say that the best thing about Animal Crossing is the fact that you can play games within the game, because you can actually play NES games, right? And so, like, little things like that. I mean, again, going back to the characters, discovering new towns, just the fact that you're wasting time in real time seems like a big waste of time, but, you know, not really. I mean, it's no different than watching, like, a television show, you know, for, like, an hour, or, I don't know, going to the movies, and or playing some other kind of game. But I just, like, people just seem to think that it's, like, a big waste of time, and I never really understood why. Like, I'm like, how is it different than doing anything else in your life that is similar?
It's just like any other video game, especially one that you sink a ton of time into. And I think that, like, you were saying that people always say that the best part is playing a game within a game. And that's the best part about Animal Crossing, is that I think, I wonder if there's anyone out there that would actually give the same answer for the best part about Animal Crossing at different times in their life. Because I know when Animal Crossing first came out, I would say sharing a town with my brothers and creating my own design was remarkable. Like, what a cool feature to have in a game where I can dress my character like I want them to dress. Like, that was super cool to me at the time. And then give it another year, and it was super fun to have multiple characters on my own on my DS, and creating those designs was equally as cool. But creating themes around each of my characters, creating personalities for them, was really, really fun. And now I'm just kind of into the, like, how cool can I make my house actually look? Like, I've got a Nintendo Dream House where everything Nintendo that they ever let me buy is in one room. Yeah. And you can hardly walk
that's
through
my
the
whole
room
house.
Exactly. And you're like, I want this house in real life so bad. Like, this is my dream house right here. Like a bullet bill shooting out at the door. It's just so fun. And so, like, I think that's one of the testaments to how strong Animal Crossing is. And I would totally buy it if it was on the phone, but I don't want a dumbed down Animal Crossing ever. I want them to keep evolving the franchise like they have. And I think that better controls, a bigger screen, and anything else that they can think to pack into a game would make it an exceptional portable console game. I can't imagine trying to control it on a phone without, yeah, like, taking up some of the screen space. And it'd be cool, but I'd be worried that it was a dumbed down experience and not the most sincere Animal Crossing we've ever got.
I'm not thinking so much like a dumbed down experience. I'm thinking something more on the lines where, like, it connects to, like, say, a version that's released for a home console. Like, I just think that there's no reason why they can't find a way to connect these games and still release, I don't know, some sort of, like, expansion pack or side quest and or something on mobile. I mean, like, one of the things about Miitomo that I find so frustrating is, for whatever reason, you can't actually connect your me in Miitomo to your me on your Wii U, right? So my me on my Wii U looks like my me that I've had for years, but I want him to look like the me on Miitomo. like why can't we connect it?
My me transferred over directly from my Nintendo account.
So wait, so your me that I get to interact with in Miitomo, like the way that dude looks, that's the way he looks when you turn on your Wii U?
Yeah, and on my 3DS, it's all, I connected all of it through the Nintendo account.
Oh, okay. I didn't do that. That sounds great.
So you know what I think the problem is? I shouldn't even be talking about this on podcast, but I think the problem is that I had two different accounts, one for my 3DS and one for my Wii U. And I guess I connected my Miitomo to a different account, because when I go on my Wii U, I see my old me and I connected it.
Yeah, I have that same problem actually, where like I'm having different accounts for my 3DS and my Wii U, and I made a whole new person on my Miitomo. But you were saying about the restrictions and stuff on smartphones. That's one thing I think Animal Crossing would be perfect for like a smartphone from a business standpoint, as I said before. But I worry that they couldn't pull it off, because I mean, for the past two games, they kind of made additions to the series that can never be taken away now. In New Leaf, they made you the mayor, and they gave you all this power. They let you really customize the town more than ever, and now they can never take that away. Even if they say like you're like the mayor's son or something in the next one, like they
or
can
the
never
king or something
or the
yeah.
king, yeah, something like that. Like they can never take that away, and now they'll never be able to take away Happy Home Designer's like customization of the house. Like that's like a new standard. And I'm just not sure if they can pull that off on smartphones. I'm sure they can figure out some way. I just hope that they don't have to sacrifice anything when they have this beautiful new powerful console. And I also don't see a $40 retail game doing well on an iPhone device. Like, the reason why Candy Crush is so great is because it's free. And, like, obviously, yeah, like, you're paying a dollar or so every once in a while for more plays or something. But I don't know if I can see Animal Crossing fans doing that. I feel like I'd rather just spend $40 and get the whole game in one complete solution. But I just don't think that's going to really be what they're looking for in the mobile market.
I kind of feel like if you look at Miitomo, I mean, they can totally do it. I mean, the problem with Miitomo is it just, I'm sorry, like, we talked about it and we gave it a really positive review, I think 2 weeks ago, Tim and I. But the problem with Miitomo is I'm kind of like, okay, I want to do something new now. Like, I don't want to answer the same question 2 weeks later. Yeah. Like, you're still asking me what my favorite TV show is. Like, dude, I've already told you what my favorite TV show is. Like, I want to be able to, like, actually send my own messages and not have Miitomo decide what it is that I'm supposed to say. Like, I could totally see an Animal Crossing mobile phone working. And I think they can release it for free. I mean, they did it with Miitomo. I mean, what is so different than taking what they've done with Miitomo but switching it to Animal Crossing characters? And there's still that idea of collecting things. Like, even if it's just like Happy Home Designer, where you just like sort of have to decorate your home, it could be anything. It could be, I don't know, it could be on a ship. It could be on a spaceship. It could be like a road trip. Like, you get in a car and you drive across the United States. Or actually, you know what that? Oh my God, that would be such a great idea. Okay, the whole point of the game is everywhere you go, you use geo-tracking so you can mark down the places you visit and you collect animals as you travel.
Sounds like Pokemon Go,
I think. Sort of, except with Animal Crossing characters.
I mean, I'd buy it.
A side game like that might be fine. Happy Home Designer in itself was a side game. But I think, like, the appeal of Animal Crossing is in that design aspect. Design your character, design your room. And now in New Leaf, you actually get to kind of design your town how you want it to be. And I think that without those aspects, they couldn't call it a proper Animal Crossing title. So, like, a side game, maybe. But I don't think a main series would. I just don't want to see it on a phone. I think it'd work. I think you could make it work. But I don't know if it'd be true to the...
So I guess my question for you, Tim, is would you prefer it to be on the 3DS and or the Wii U?
Personally, I like portable better. I really liked that original home console experience. But when City Folk came around, it just wasn't the same after I'd already played Wild World. I could take Wild World anywhere I wanted it to go. And it was kind of like I could go over to a friend's house and we could both have our towns in our pockets. And that's a really cool sensation. And New Leaf continued that idea of I can take this game anywhere I go. And I can be in my Animal Crossing home, in my actual house, or I could be at school and go visit my town, see what Nook is selling. And that's just an incredible freedom that I think that the franchise really, really utilizes well. If you have like 5 minutes a day, you can go check the store, see what's up for sale, and buy it if you want. If you want to hunker down a little bit longer in the evening and go fishing, and that it's ideal for that too. And so I think a portable title is perfect for the franchise.
How would you feel about like a complete NX launch title that is Animal Crossing, but then like a companion mobile app where you can do like fishing mini games, you can buy your like stuff from Tom Nook's shop, and you maybe even like customize your home a little bit, but it doesn't have like that core world, but then like you kind of transfer it all over through your new Nintendo account. And when you go home to your NX, you can kind of play the full game.
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to get at before. Because, like, I mean, the whole idea, at least based on the rumors with the NX, is it's supposed to interconnect a portable system with possibly, like, their mobile apps with the home console. And so if you're going to launch that type of machine, if that is what it is, you're going to want a game that can interconnect all three. And that is why a game like Animal Crossing works as opposed to, say, Super Mario, which is a platformer, right? So I think that would be awesome. We'll see what happens. I always kind of feel like whenever we get something like Miitomo, it's just the first step to get to what they really want to release.
No, I think something like that, like, or an app where you get to play like limited play, but you can get exclusive things for your full game could also be really, really cool. I'm all for that, especially with like Miitomo, if you could connect your Miitomo account to other games and get Zelda stuff or Animal Crossing stuff, that could also be super rad. So I'm all for the full integration, interconnectivity. It could be absolutely brilliant. if they do it right.
I think we're guaranteed an Animal Crossing game within the next 2 years. Like, I mean, a real Animal Crossing game. They've released so many amiibo figures. They've released Happy Home Designer. They released a game which I don't even want to mention exists. you know what I mean? But like, all of these little baby steps to sort of like keep the franchise alive and fresh in everyone's memory. So when they do release this game, it might be like huge. We'll see.
All the same, Animal Crossing, happy birthday. Thank you for 15 amazing years. I have had a ton of fun on each of those games, and I sincerely hope, listener, that you have too. If not, and you have a 3DS, then I think New Leaf is an absolute must buy. I think that does everything that Animal Crossing has ever done, but in its best form. So check that out. Strong endorsement from me. Right now, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about another very classic game from another very classic franchise, and that is Link's Awakening from The Legend of Zelda. So stick around.
Welcome to Animal Crossing, the life game that's happening every minute of every day, whether you're playing or not.
Welcome back to N-Express, where we are at our main event, a discussion of Link's Awakening, a very classic Legend of Zelda game, originally on the Game Boy back in 1993. You guys, this game is pretty ancient now. It's crazy how old this game is.
Yeah, this game actually came out the year I was born, so.
So there you go. Came out on the brick Game Boy. So, I mean, That's how I originally played it. I still have a brick. I also have some Game Boy Pockets and a Game Boy Color. I love Game Boys. So
let me ask you a question. Does your game still save?
Yeah, absolutely is.
It's impressive.
Really? The battery life still works?
Dude, I rarely touch it. Every time I've checked, it's still there. These things have such longevity. It's crazy. So we have had multiple discussions about what we think is the best Zelda game versus our favorite Zelda game. And personally, I do not think Link's Awakening is the best Zelda game, but it is hands down absolutely my favorite Zelda game, and always has been and always will be. You guys, there is not a game that is nearer and dearer to my heart, which probably sounds absurd with how much I talk about Pokemon. Like, you you know, Ricky, I won't shut up about Pokemon, ever.
I had a feeling this was your favorite game. Because every single time we talk about a Zelda game, you're like, oh, you'll see. So I was like, there's no way he's going to say Ocarina of Time because it's too obvious.
It's just like on the nose. Like, I've just been defending that one as the best one.
I mean, I'm original as well, since my favorite is Ocarina of Time. So, you know, I'm pretty different.
Yeah. I feel like that's probably the correct answer. I think Ocarina of Time is easily the best Zelda game, but that's a discussion for next Zelda discussion, because that's the next on our timeline. But that there's a huge gap right there. 5 years, 1993 to 1998 is when Ocarina of Time came out in the US. So massive jump. But Link's Awakening, you guys, this game was actually the very first video game I remember playing, period.
Okay, well, that'll explain why it's your favorite.
No, and I think the game, it is in itself a remarkable experience. I think that of all Zelda games, this Zelda game probably has the best story, and that is pretty phenomenal considering it was the first portable Zelda game. It really proved what Zelda could be on the go, and I think it proves it better than any on the go Zelda game, except for maybe A Link Between Worlds, and that's a crazy amount of time to defend that title.
But you know what? That's what I love about this game. It's the story. It's not so much the dungeons or the gameplay. I mean, we don't even get to see Zelda and or Ganon in this game, but I love the story. I love how you wake up in an island and how everyone on this island has no idea how they ended up on the island. Like, I love everything about it. Like, I thought this game was going to be really dark and twisted, and it's not. It is the only game in the Zelda series that I haven't yet played up until last week. And so I was prepping up for this podcast, and I swear to God, Tim, I thought it was going to be sort of like A Link to the Past, you know, you start the game right away. You're in the action. It's a dark, stormy night. Somebody dies, and it's going to be really dark. And it's not at all. This game completely took me by surprise.
I was going to say that, like, I've only spent probably like 5 to 10 hours on this now, and like Rick, like, this is probably the only Zelda I haven't played. And I've been playing Zelda since I was like born, basically. Like, this is the first series I really jumped into that got me to be the gamer I am today. And with that little amount of time I spent, like, I just feel like this is so different. Where, like, I feel like they always had a pretty serious tone for the most part. And then for this one, they just, like, I feel like Tingle was like a real person, and he was like the head developer for this game. And he just wanted to make like the most wacky, interesting, and like different game they've ever had. Like, I was just like, what is this? Like, I love it, but I'm shocked it's a Zelda game, honestly.
I love the talking owl. He's always watching you. Like it feels like feels like I'm watching an episode of Twin Peaks. Like, I just, like, I love the wine fish. Like, I like the whole concept about how you have to, like, awaken this mysterious giant fish in order to not even, like, you know, I'm not even sure what happens at the end of this game, to be totally honest. Like, it kind of feels like
you wake up.
Right. So it kind of feels like the whole entire thing was a dream, but I'm not entirely sure. Was it a dream? Like, was it a parallel universe? Did this actually happen? Did you just wake up? But it just so happens that I was, like, say, 7 days after you actually ended the adventure. But the ending is so mysterious. I'm not entirely sure how it even connects. Even the whole entire game, like the storyline, just the way it starts right up to the very end, I'm not even entirely sure how it connects to the Zelda timeline. But then again, I'm not entirely sure how any game connects to the Zelda timeline. But
I don't think they know.
I was told that this is the unofficial sequel to A Link to the Past. But the thing is, according to the timeline, it's not. Like, this game follows the other portable games in terms of, like, the storyline, which makes no sense.
You know, I'd have to go look again, but I want to say, according to the official timeline, doesn't it follow A Link
to
the Past?
No, it does not.
You're
the one that has a huge poster in your wall. You tell us.
No, just turn around and look at it.
I mean, that's just a timeline of game releases, but I have Hyrule Historia on my bookshelf behind me.
Hyrule Historia, it does not fall. I could be wrong. I don't know where my book is right now, but...
Yeah, here, hold on. I will
If
grab
only we had a way to look this up.
I know. Hold on one second. So the easiest way to track the timeline, and I can't believe I forgot this, is that if you actually just follow the progression of Link's hair, it's a pretty natural evolution. So... after Ocarina of Time, there's two splits in the timeline where either the hero is triumphant after Ocarina of Time or he is defeated. And if he is defeated, it results in an alternate timeline in which A Link to the Past is the next game. Hence the creation of all the Dark World and that other aspect, is that's the presumably this defeated world. So, yeah, immediately after A Link to the Past comes the Oracle games, where Link travels the world. But immediately following the Oracle games, Link continues his travels out to sea. And that is A Link to the Past, where he is shipwrecked, almost drowns, and ends up on Koholint Island. Fun fact, Zelda number 1 and then Zelda number 2 are technically the sequels to the fourth Zelda game ever made, which is kind of funny.
That's funny. By the way, Tim, I didn't want to correct you in the podcast, but Majora's Mask has the best story and not Link's Awakening.
Majora's Mask is a really, really interesting comparable game, so I'm not even going to argue with you on that aspect. It's the most comparable in that it's the most diverse and segregated from the rest of them, in that it does not have Hyrule, it does not have Zelda, it doesn't have Ganon, but instead, the reason I will say that Link's Awakening is my personal favorite, is it is the quintessential Zelda game, like, absolutely plays like the original Zelda and A Link to the Past, but in a portable world. But it is absolutely built up on unbridled imagination. Like, think about this island where you have all these nightmares that are reigning, and to wake yourself up, you have to destroy all of them. But to do that, you have to destroy the ultimate nightmare that is slumbering with the windfish in a giant egg on top of a mountain. Like, what kind of story is that?
Yeah.
But the way it's told in this game is beautiful.
I kind of feel like this game can easily be one of those Studio Ghibli
Yeah.
Animated films.
Seems like it.
Yeah. And I just do not understand how this game is so big. I mean, this game was released on the Game Boy. Like, I played it recently, and it took me, I'll be honest, it took me a while to finish this game. I started, like, about a week and a half ago. I put in a lot of hours. I'm not entirely sure why, because apparently it only takes about 5 hours to complete, but I put in at least 20 hours. I had to cheat and had to go online to figure a few things out. To be fair, I'm super busy at school these days, so I just like had to get through it. But this game is so big for a portable game that was released 20 years ago, 23 years ago. Like, I just can't believe how many secret passageways, how many characters you interact with, how many dungeons, the puzzles in this game, fantastic. Like, it's just, I mean, I still think Link to the Past is a superior game. It's my personal favorite in the series. I think it's actually the best Zelda game. We talked about this a few weeks ago. But I also like the fact that this game mixes in platforming and side-scrolling, which was unexpected. I had no idea that there was side-scrolling in this game.
It really took me by surprise because I was just playing, and then all of a sudden, like in the first, right before the first dungeon, it just went to 2D, and I was like, "What is this?" And then inside that cave, there's Goombas, and I was like, "What is going on?" Like, and then as soon as you get to the first dungeon, they give you like a super original item, which is I think it's called Rock's Feather, and it made me jump, and I was like, "I've never been able to jump in like any Zelda game ever. Like, what's happening right now?" But it was a very, you know, enjoyable.
Zelda 2, Link was able to jump really high with a magic potion. This is completely different. This is an actual item that you have to pick up. But have you met many of the cameo appearances? Like, have you met Kirby?
I saw Yoshi, plushy Yoshi. I saw the Chain Chomp. I think it was called, like, Bow Wow or something.
Yeah, there's a ton of cameos, at least that I noticed. But in terms of, like, the actual weapons and items, I mean, what I love about this game, I was talking about this a few weeks ago, like my favorite item in any Zelda game is the boomerang. And the boomerang is easily the most powerful weapon in this game. Like, it's amazing. No. It's OP. No, dude, it's OP.
Dude, the magic rod.
No, the boomerang's better. It's so much better.
The magic rod can burn cuckoos to death.
I know, but the boomerang is so cool. Not only can you kill enemies, you can collect rupees with it.
Dude, that you can whack and it'll bite you. You can then retaliate by burning that to death. Like, in what game can you destroy NPCs' pets? Like, and so that's like what I wanted to bring up is that Link's Awakening benefited from the weirdest development of perhaps any Zelda game, in that some of the devs were just playing with the Game Boy when it first came out. They had a Game Boy kit and they wanted to see what it could do. And so one of them started creating a Zelda-esque adventure. And that quickly started to evolve, and they thought, hey, we could make a portable A Link to the Past. That might be a really cool port to sell the Game Boy. But it was so exciting that they just started building and building on it and coming up with new ideas. And so a lot of it remained after that weird development period where there's unofficial cameos of Kirby and several other characters that you wouldn't expect to see in a Zelda game. And there's also weird references to Zelda 2, which normally they just kind of shy away from Zelda 2. Like, doing side-scrolling and platforming all of a sudden with Rock's Feather. And so this game has really benefited from this strange development, which is just fascinating to read about. I absolutely love the stories that people tell about this game. And a lot of people, like even Aonuma himself, has said that he's convinced that this is the quintessential Zelda game with the best story. And I stand by that.
Are you sure that was the quote? Because what I read was he said it was the one Zelda game in which he felt that he and his team were just able to let loose and be as creative as they wanted to be without feeling restricted to sticking to the Zelda formula. But I'd never heard him say it's the quintessential Zelda game.
I think he just called a quintessential Zelda game. There's no one Zelda game that is definitively Zelda outside of maybe Ocarina of Time or A Link to the Past, both of which defined the framework for future games. But what I think this one did was created that experience on a portable, and which is kind of what he was talking about, and then also continued to progress the series in a lot of interesting ways. You referenced Twin Peaks, right? For the first time that the townspeople were exceptionally weird. They say really quirky things. They even break the fourth wall and start addressing the audience. Like, the kids will say, tell you how to play, and then say something like, oh, I don't really know what I'm talking about right now, though.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice change.
Yeah, it's super funny. And ever since then, we've had, like, bizarre beyond reason Zelda characters, and it's all thanks to this game. Like, sure, there's the guy under the bridge in a Link to the Past, but for the most part, everyone's pretty normal, right?
I gotta ask you guys a question, all right? Be honest. Who here stole the bow? Anybody? No? Did you guys actually buy it? Well, in order to buy the bow, you have to collect 980 rupees, so it's by far the most expensive item that you have to... That you can buy, right? But the thing is, you can steal it. But if you steal it, it has consequences. So for the entire game, and I did it on purpose because I heard about this long ago. So for the entire game, everyone will refer to you as the thief. But did you know, Tim, that, I don't know if you probably noticed, but if you return to the shop master will kill you. Like, yeah, right away. He kills you. He'll kill you. He's actually the most powerful character in the game.
Dude, no, I used to steal from that guy all the time just because I thought it was funny.
I'm absolutely going to steal it. As soon as I get to that part, I will steal it right away now. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. So it's incredibly quirky, and they've never done anything like that before. They're encouraging children to steal. And he's, like, menacingly smiling when you come back, too. Like, it's kind of creepy, but it's wonderful at the same time. So this was also one of the best uses of music in any Zelda game, which is kind of crazy to say, but personally, I absolutely adore the Ballad of the Windfish when you've collected all of the magical instruments to awaken the windfish. I think that is probably the most cinematic, gorgeously done part of almost any Zelda game. Like, that was so climactic that I think Zelda struggled to match that sense of completion, that you've earned this, you've reached this point, and now you're finally getting to go face the final boss. I love that moment almost more than any other Zelda moment, which is crazy to say.
Yeah, I really like that the things you get from beating the dungeon are actually instruments rather than like I said, you know, I love Ocarina of Time, but like when you beat like the first three dungeons, you get stones and like they look cool, but like they're stones. Like I don't care. But like when you get like, correct me if I'm wrong, but for every dungeon you complete, you always get an instrument, right?
Yep. Exactly.
And in the end, you use them, and that's way cooler.
Yeah, and then you use them to wake the windfish. It's really, really well done.
You know, when we reviewed A Link to the Past, I think I ended a review by saying if you've never played a Zelda game, and or if you have a friend who's never played a Zelda game, it would be the best game for them to begin with. I think that this is also a great game for a newbie, because the thing about this game is I love the pacing, because it starts it's kind of easy at the start. It's not like Legend of Zelda, the original, where you start and you have no idea what to do type thing. And there are townspeople and clues, and they can tell you like what to do and what you should be doing, et cetera, et cetera. But the pacing, like it becomes slowly more difficult. At least I think so. Like I thought it was a little too easy at first, but you know what? The boss battles, they are far too easy, I think. But I do think that this game has great pacing. And yeah, just like, I think it's a great game to recommend to anyone who's never really played any Zelda games. I'm kind of worried that some people might think it's a little dated in terms of like the way it looks, but I actually like the way it looks. Like there's something about there's something about the pixel art. Like I think it looks beautiful. Like clearly it does not look as good as, I don't think, A Link to the Past, but I still think it looks pretty good considering it was released in the Game Boy again 23 years ago.
And if you buy it on Virtual Console, you also benefit from getting A Link's Awakening DX, and that has color, it has a color-based dungeon as an added bonus, and a couple of other extra features that I never enjoyed when I was younger. I didn't get DX for years and years. I had the monochrome original cartridge of this game. And so, awesome. So yeah, playing it in color is always such an exciting treat for me. It's exhilarating because I think this world is the most vibrant world that Zelda's ever had. I think it's the most fun world that Link's ever visited. Just something about it seems so magical, so whimsical, and it totally taps into that dream theme. Like everything feels surreal and it's beautiful.
It's absolutely something special for sure, because I mean I'm a huge into Zelda, and like, but I'm definitely pro 3D Zelda. Like Ocarina of Time and on is like what I'm all about, and sometimes it's kind of hard for me to get into the older ones. Like, unfortunately, I am not even a fan of Zelda 2. I just can't get into it as much as I've tried. But, like, I definitely respect, like, the first one and even, like, the Oracle of Seasons and Ages. But none of the 2D ones have ever really got me, like, have really hooked me in like this one has. Like, where like the first 3 hours just like went by so fast, where I was just like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I'm enjoying everything. A Link to the Past, I will say, like, that definitely is probably the best of the older ones for sure. Sorry, Tim. But but like something about it just didn't really hook me. I definitely thought it was nice. Like, I thought it was fun. You know, like, it has that core Zelda feel, but it wasn't really hooking me in because I suppose I was spoiled with the 3D Zelda. But there's just something about like this one actually stands out because it's different. Everything I ever thought about Zelda is different. Yeah.
When is the last time you played A Link to the Past?
Or
better yet, did you play Link to the Past, say, when you just got into Zelda and you had just played Ocarina of Time for the very first time?
So, no, I did not. Last time I played it was actually kind of weird. It was on a train in China, which is, like, really random. But I was playing, like, on an emulator on my old MacBook, and I definitely enjoyed it a lot. But then I got to, like, the Dark World, and then I updated my Mac, and it, like, the emulator was just wiped out. So I didn't get to finish it, unfortunately.
Here's the thing. So I was talking to Mike Werby, who's the games editor of Quad9, and we were talking about like 2 years ago, and he was like, Link to the Past was his favorite game, maybe of all time, but his favorite game in the Zelda series. And I was like, Ocarina of Time is my favorite, and Link to the Past is my second favorite. And that is because, you know, clearly I played Link to the Past forever ago, and then I played Ocarina of Time later on in life. But when I went back to play Link to the Past again this year, I was blown away. And I had just played Ocarina of Time last year, and I was blown away. I forgot how good that game is. Give it another chance, or listen to our podcast, and we might make you change your mind. I think you're right, Tim. Like, I think this game has a certain charm. Like, it's so whimsical. It's so fun. It's so unique. You don't have to save Zelda in this game, because Zelda does not even appear in this game. There's no Ganon. It's like, it kind of feels like, I mean, you can easily replace Link with a different character and call the game, I don't know, like Kirby's Nightmare, and it could still work. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be a Legend of Zelda game. And that's not a criticism. That's actually like, that's a compliment, because that's what makes the game so great. It doesn't have to be part of the Legend of Zelda series, and it would still be a great game. Like, it doesn't need the fame of the Legend of Zelda, you know, in the title type thing. And I think people would still love this game. And again, like, I'm just blown away by, like, I don't know how long it took you to finish this game, Tim, but seriously, 20 hours. Like, I think it's the most I put into any Zelda game so far, but, I have to complete the game 100%. So I was doing all the side quests.
Yeah. You have to remember, I played this more on on an actual Game Boy than I have on any other console.
When's the last time you like replayed it?
It's been probably, I just re-downloaded it, and I've been meaning to start it. But the last time I played it was probably 3 years ago, something like that. But Patrick has Twilight Princess down pat and A Link to the Past down pat. And I would say this is the game that if I pick it up, I immediately just start hauling through it, because I just remember it so vividly. Yeah, it's just had such an impact on me.
Back when Rick was saying how different it was, and like how he feels like they could have just changed like the name to like say Kirby's Nightmare or something, which I thought was a pretty scary name, by the way, but I would definitely be down for a game like that. But I wish that Nintendo would kind of learn something from their own game, which is this game. Like, I feel like they took their IP and just spun it around completely, and just like everything that they were doing, they kind of just did a little bit differently. And I think what they're trying to do now with something like Hyrule Warriors is they're trying to do that, but they're doing it way too much. Where I know Goomba Stomp had a immediate, like a lukewarm review of Hyrule Warriors on 3DS. And I definitely agree, because I feel like they took like the core and they didn't alter it. They just completely changed it to something else, and it didn't really fit the series that well. And I wish that they would do like another spinoff such as this, but like to today's standards, I suppose.
So you're saying basically, like, the thing about this game is essentially, like, the way it's structured, it's very similar to the games prior, like, in terms of, like, there's the dungeons, there's the overhead bird's eye view of Link walking around.
It's absolutely a core Zelda game, but I feel like they changed everything just slightly, and I wish that they would do this with their spinoffs as well with Zelda, because I feel like they're trying different things now with, like I said before, Hyrule Warriors, but it's just not working.
Hyrule Warriors did have a different developer.
Yeah, for sure.
And is a main series game. And so that's, I get where you're coming from. And I feel like with the Wii U Zelda, assuming it's still a Wii U Zelda. I think maybe we have that opportunity. It sounds like they're rethinking things, and based entirely on the trailer, things are looking really different, and I'm thinking that they're kind of getting to that point. I think that if you could make the argument that Twilight Princess is Ocarina of Time 2.0, Majora's Mask is upside down Ocarina of Time dark mode, and everything from that point has been like the Ocarina of Time with a boat or the Ocarina of Time with the bird. And I think that you could make that argument. I think there's enough to distinguish them. They're all brilliant games, but they're still very modeled after Ocarina of Time. And so I think that this game kind of like it retains aspects of A Link to the Past, but also is very reminiscent of the original Zelda. But it was mostly just like I said, unbridled imagination. And they kind of threw a whole bunch of new ideas into it. And that ended up defining a whole bunch of what Zelda was going to be. Ocarina of Time would be a totally different game if not for Link's Awakening. And so I'm totally with you. I think that Link's Awakening is this great, great moment in the franchise's history where the reins were loosened a little bit and developers were allowed to use their imagination. And the result was a beautiful, beautiful game. But I personally, there's no Zelda game that's been my favorite, and this was the first one I've ever played. So Ocarina of Time, you got close, but you didn't get it. Sorry, buddy.
I think the thing about this game, Chris, and maybe what you're trying to get at, is that it kind of feels like a bottle episode. So if you ever watched television shows, right? A bottle episode is basically when you watch a TV show, and for whatever reason, one specific episode all takes place in one room. It's completely detached from the overall character arc or story arc of the entire season. And that's what I kind of feel like this game is. Like, it takes place in a Zelda universe, and sure, it's Link, but none of the other major characters in a Zelda universe appear in this game, and yet it still has the same structure as a Zelda game, but again, the story and just the overall feel of it is completely different. So for me, it kind of feels like a bottle episode, and that's kind of what I like about it. It's refreshing and different, and it's nice to have somewhat of a change, but still follow the structure of the Zelda franchise, because that is what fans still expect. So, yeah, I think that's what makes this game so special. Tim, I'm so glad we finally reviewed this game. I've been postponing the show for about 4 weeks now because I've been super busy. Totally enjoyed this game. It's not my favorite Zelda game, sorry. My favorite Zelda game is still A Link to the Past. But I'm just, like, mad impressed that this game came out on the Game Boy. Like, I wish I had played this game, like, 20 years ago.
It was a remarkable feat. Back then, no one was quite sure what the Game Boy could do. And we had all just played A Link to the Past, and then this comes out on the Game Boy and proves what a portable console is capable of. I think this established portable gaming, like in my mind at least. This was like, this and Pokemon defined portable gaming forever. Like, they're incredibly capable consoles, and there's kind of a theme turning up in this episode, portable consoles forever. and I think that this was not only really, really influential in structuring future Zelda games, whether you're talking about quirky characters or side quests. A lot of the side quests, like the chain of events that you create by trading items, they came up with that in this game. And it's just one of those weird things that came out of, here, guys, do whatever you want with this one.
I also kind of like how, like I said before, Link can easily be replaced by anybody, right? And that's the whole thing about the Zelda series. Like, we talked about this before on the podcast, where if you think about it, like, Link is just the name of the character you play with. It's like anybody can be Link. Like, there's this big, huge debate if they should include a female character in the new Zelda game as the main character. In other words, should Link be female? But, like, Link is the character that you make Link to be. In the first original Zelda game, you get to name the character. Like, the character is not actually named Link when you play game. When you play it, you enter your name, though, is what I'm saying. It's like playing Earthbound for the very first time. You enter your name. You're not going around playing as Ness unless you enter that name.
Dude, even on Triforce Heroes, when it was like, okay, other players are going to recognize you by this name, so do something recognizable. I was like, Link.
So, yeah, do you guys put yourself as Link, or do you go as Rick and Tim?
Always Link.
Always Link. How about you, Rick?
I go as Rick and Tim, actually.
Rick and Tim. It's awesome. No. That's so weird because I actually was Rick and Tim as myself. So it's weird. It's almost perfect.
Solid name, yeah.
The point is, before we end the show, the point is This game is great. I love it. Not my favorite Zelda game, but I do like how it's somewhat sad, very weird. It kind of feels like David Lynch walked into Nintendo and decided to rewrite the script for Nintendo. And it's bleak and it's whimsy. And I kind of feel like it's this weird dream world. Like, we're, I don't think it's a dream. I think, like, if this actually happened in the Zelda timeline, then it actually did happen. It's not like he woke up at the end of the game. Like, I'm not entirely sure what happens at the end of the game. I'm still confused about this, Tim. All I know is that at the end of the game is trippy.
You want my crazy fan theory?
Sure, go for it.
So, based on the timeline, Link has already become the hero of time in A Link to the Past. But I think that this game, in many ways, is this internal struggle and triumph of the character of Link truly being born as the hero internally and externally, who would then go on to destroy Ganon in the original Legend of Zelda and then continue to preserve Hyrule in one of the other best Zelda stories, Zelda 2. And I think that if you consider it all one character, it's a remarkable story.
And so what happens to his love interest in this game?
So interesting that you mentioned that. If you beat this game without dying, then Marin actually escapes the island. And she says that she wants to get out of the island, but never had the courage or whatever. And in DX, if you beat the game without dying, you actually see a seagull fly overhead. And that's supposed to be her. If you actually play it on the original cartridge, it's a woman with wings. So it's a little bit more straightforward. It's a little clearer. But also matches perfectly that weird, surreal aspect to the game. It is absolutely the best realization of a dream in a game, in my opinion. And it's the least cop-out answer when you wake up from a dream at the end of the game and you're like, oh, it was all just a dream? I think that's kind of the point of the game. And it makes it that idea work better than anything I've ever seen.
From what I've heard, I feel like the general consensus is that that's all that's happening, which is kind of, like you said, a bit cliche, but yeah, he just woke up and it was all a dream. But yeah, I don't really have any crazy theories since I haven't beaten it myself.
It's, like I said, my personal favorite Zelda game. You can bet that as soon as I get the opportunity, I'm going to shove it into the Hall of Fame on GoombaStomp.com, because I think of all Zelda games, this one deserves a place for not only being a perfect representation of what a Zelda game is and a great place for beginners, but for doing it on a portable console with almost no guidelines in terms of story and just having a brilliant, brilliant dream story that is completely unique to the series. I think it's still one of the most remarkable gaming experiences I've ever had. So Link's Awakening, perhaps my favorite game of all time. Go buy it now on your 3DS. I dare you.
So here's the thing, Tim. Imagine Link's Awakening in virtual reality. Mind blown. You're going to love it.
No, augmented reality. So I can just watch Link struggle on his little island of dreams. Chris, thank you so much for joining us for Animal Crossing and Link's Awakening. Where can we find you online?
Well, thanks for having me. You can find me at GoombaStomp.com. I'm a writer for them right now. And or on Twitter at Chris269CJS.
All right. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Ricky D, where are you online?
You can find me over at GoombaStomp, over at Quad9, and on Twitter, it's GoombaStompMag. I'm on Tumblr and Facebook. I basically handle the official accounts for GoombaStomp, and I do tweet about Quad9, our sister site, which you should also visit. And do check out our YouTube channel. It's still new, but then again, our website is very new. But we have been releasing animated versions of our podcast, which is kind of fun. And I should remind our listeners, it's the Podcast Awards, and we have been selected as one of the best video games podcasts. So it would be great if our listeners can nominate us. So the way it works is you just go over to podcastawards.com. Once again, podcastawards.com. On the left column, you will see the category for games and hobbies. Give us a nomination. Enter NXpress. Put in the URL to our website, which is GoombaStomp.com. You do have to enter your name and your email address. You do not have to put your real name, but you do have to put an email address and click submit. And we would really appreciate it. It's going to be huge for us because it's basically like free advertising if we make the final 10 best podcasts for 20... I don't know. I guess it's 2016, right? Even though it started early, I guess. I'm not sure how it works. Yeah. if we make the final 10, it's great because it's like free advertising and it lets millions of people discover our show who might not discover our show if not for the podcast awards. So yeah, please vote.
Yeah, and without us, how will you guys know what to think about what's the best Zelda game? All right? Totally kidding. But I do endorse replaying all of them and finding out for yourself what your favorite one is, because if you haven't played those old ones on Virtual Console, then you need to. I am Tim Mason. You can find me at The Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter. I'm also on Goomba Stomp, where I am always writing about something, whether it be Link's Awakening or Pokemon, or maybe I should write about Animal Crossing. I don't know. I'm also on Quad9.net, where I host another podcast called Game Boys, which did not get nominated at all for the podcast awards, but we're coming after An Express next year, so better watch out. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening to this very special, near and dear episode to my heart, at least. We've really enjoyed sharing with you guys, and we can't wait to talk to you guys next week. Until then, in honor of Link's Awakening, pleasant dreams.